Welcome back to Lasai Channel. My name is Anton Vjeltsin. I'm an attorney in the Southern District of California here in San Diego. Today, we're going to look at a case where the officers saw an individual holding a firearm outside on the porch of their house. They wanted to make an arrest, but the individual barricaded himself inside. The officers then surrounded the house, and with the aid of the helicopter that lit up the house like a Christmas tree, they essentially forced the individual to get out of the house. The question becomes whether this is a valid arrest if it happens without a warrant. And before we go on, I want to thank you for watching me on YouTube, hitting that subscribe button. If you're listening to the podcast version of this recording on Audible or Spotify, please give my podcast a 5-star rating. And finally, if you want to support this channel, consider going to lasstash.com and check out some of my merch, including the Do Not Arrest This Person t-shirts. So go ahead and subscribe, or get off internet.
Quick message from Law Stash. Are you charged with a crime? Or do you want to know your rights if stopped by police? Watch California attorney Anton Vjeltsin discuss legal cases from the Supreme Court, Ninth Circuit, and California state courts on the Law Stash YouTube page. Anton has handled hundreds of federal and state criminal cases, has an in-depth knowledge of the law, and has the best mustache ever. Subscribe to the Law Stash YouTube page. That's LawStache.
Today we're discussing a Ninth Circuit case, United States versus Johnny Nora. And it deals with an arrest of Mr. Nora and the subsequent search of his house. First, let me give you some factual background. The relevant facts of this case happened on a single night in Los Angeles. Two uniformed officers were patrolling the streets, and they saw Mr. Nora along with two other individuals standing on the corner of the street next to Mr. Nora's house. Now, the officers said that they didn't recognize these three individuals. I'm not sure why that's relevant or why that was suspicious, but the officers made a decision to make a U-turn. So of course they lost sight of these three individuals. By the time they turned around, they saw Mr. Nora and two of his buddies next to Mr. Nora's house. Mr. Nora and his friend Davis were standing on the front porch and the third individual on the front yard. You often ask me to see actual evidence from the case, and I can rarely give it to you because the Ninth Circuit and other courts rarely supply the actual evidence in the case law. But here, you're in luck. The photo you're looking at right now is the actual front of the house. It was attached to the Ninth Circuit decision in the appendix, so you can see it. When the officers approached the house, they wanted to make a casual conversation with Mr. Norris and two others. They quickly saw Mr. Nora, who was already turning to the side, quickly rush into the house. He pushed Mr. Davis aside, and as he did so, one of the officers saw that Mr. Nora had a semi-automatic handgun in his hand, which he was kind of hiding to the side. One of the officers shouted, "Stop, police!" But Mr. Nora ignored the command. He rushed into the house along with his friend Davis and locked the door. The third individual was arrested, or at least detained. At this point, the officers surrounded the house. They wanted to arrest Mr. Nora for the possession of the firearm. But whoever was inside the house turned all the lights off, and the officers couldn't see anything inside or outside the house. They requested backup, and in about 20-30 minutes, a helicopter flew over the house. Mr. Nora's wife later testified that the light beam from the helicopter made it look like daylight over the house. At this point, the officers kept shouting for Mr. Nora to surrender himself, and after a few minutes, he did so. He walked out of the house, then his friend Davis, and then Mr. Nora's wife and children. Mr. Nora was arrested. During the pat down, the officers found some marijuana and some currency on Mr. Nora. At this point, Mr. Nora also told the officers that he belonged to a particular street gang and that he had some small quantities of methamphetamine inside the house. He lived at this residence, and everything inside was his. Using this information, the officers sought and obtained a warrant to search the house. They conducted the search and found some more narcotics, drug paraphernalia, and firearms. Mr. Nora was prosecuted in federal court. He later entered a conditional plea for possessing narcotics with intent to distribute and received a 122-month sentence. This was a conditional plea because in the district court, he lost the suppression motion, but he was allowed to renew his arguments to the Ninth Circuit. And so here we are. He argues that the initial arrest was illegal in violation of his Fourth Amendment rights. And also the subsequent search of this house was also violating Fourth Amendment. And so everything should have been suppressed, but it didn't in the district court level. Your first question might be, what was the charge here? Why were the officers even trying to arrest Mr. Nora? Well, the relevant statute here is the California statute that's a misdemeanor, and it prohibits an individual possessing a loaded firearm in any public place or on a public street. You might be asking yourself, but Mr. Nora was never on the public street. Nora argues that it's possible he picked up the handgun between the time he was standing on the sidewalk and the time he reached the porch, and that the gun could have been unloaded. But the concept of probable cause requires to deal in probabilities, not certainties. And for that reason, it doesn't demand the same type of specific evidence of each element of the offense as would be needed to support a conviction. Taking into account the totality of circumstances, the officers needed to have only a reasonable ground to believe Nora had violated Section 25850A, which is the statute that I've mentioned earlier regarding having a loaded firearm on a public street. And here, the court says that they did have probable cause. Mr. Nora then contends that even if the officers had probable cause to arrest him, they did so in violation of Peyton Rule, which comes from the Supreme Court case Peyton versus New York. The court held in Peyton that the Fourth Amendment forbids arresting a suspect inside his home unless the police first obtain an arrest warrant or an exception to the warrant requirement applies. That rule is designed to protect the privacy and the sanctity of the home, and stems from an overriding respect for the sanctity of the home that has been embedded in our traditions since the origins of the Republic. The government properly concedes that the officers arrested Mr. Nora, quote-unquote, inside his house for the purposes of Peyton Rule. Although the officers took physical custody of Nora outside of his house, because the Ninth Circuit has long held that when the officers force a suspect to exit his home, it would be deemed an in-house arrest for the purposes of Peyton Rule. And because the officers did not have an arrest warrant, the arrest violated Mr. Nora's Fourth Amendment rights. But what about any exceptions? The only exception that I can think of here, and the court discusses, is the exigent circumstances. But here, there's really no exigency. The court says that Mr. Nora was not threatening anyone with a gun. He was not pointing it at anyone. He did not seem angry or violent. There was really no threat to the public because, after all, the officers surrounded the house and did not let anyone leave. And finally, the court says that exigent circumstances will seldom provide justification for a warrantless search and arrest of the house when we're dealing with a misdemeanor. So here's the two rules. Sometimes under Peyton, even if the individual is outside the house, it can be deemed an in-house arrest. And the second rule is that the Ninth Circuit says that if we're dealing with a misdemeanor, it is rare, if ever, that exigent circumstances would apply. So then we have to talk about suppressing the evidence. Because we're saying that this is an illegal arrest, everything that follows has to be suppressed. Of course, under the fruits of the poisonous tree, the evidence that was found on Mr. Nora the marijuana and some of the cash has to be suppressed. His statements that he made about belonging to a particular gang also has to be suppressed. But then we have a subsequent warrant. What do we do with that? Well, I'm not going to bore you too much and go through the case in much detail, because the Ninth Circuit actually goes through all of the items that were listed in the warrant, because what we have to do is figure out which evidence still stays in the affidavit and which doesn't. For example, the narcotics, the marijuana that was found on Mr. Nora, his statements have to be taken out of the affidavit. But the information that the officers had about seeing the firearm, for example, or the fact that Mr. Nora had a criminal record, which they could have found from a simple check from their vehicle, that information can actually stay in the affidavit. So then the Ninth Circuit has to decide whether by taking all the illegally seized information and evidence, the remaining would still justify a warrant. After cleaning up the application for the warrant, we're left with the following. The officers had probable cause to search for a blue steel semi-automatic handgun that they saw Nora carrying, but the only clause of the warrant addressing the firearms did not specifically describe that weapon. It instead purported to authorize the seizure of firearms of any stripe, expanding the scope of the search to include firearms for which the officers did not have probable cause. Since a warrant must be no broader than the probable cause on which it is based, the firearms clause must be stricken as well, with no valid portion of the warrant that could even potentially be saved. The severance doctrine cannot apply because the entire warrant was invalid. The government's plain view argument also fails. In order for the plain view doctrine to apply, the officer must lawfully have been in the place from which the object could be seen in plain view. The officer's entry into Nora's home was not authorized by a valid warrant or an exception to the warrant requirement, which means they were not lawfully present in the home in the first place. The plain view doctrine is therefore inappropriate. In the end, all the evidence seized by the officers has to be suppressed and cannot be used against Mr. Nora in trial or in court. And that's including the evidence that was obtained even after the officers obtained a search warrant. And all of this because the officers failed to get an arrest warrant and violated the Peyton rule by essentially forcing Mr. Nora to get out of the house to be arrested outside of it. Under the Peyton rule, it would still be deemed an in-house arrest. And now let's go on and take a quick overview of the case for some takeaways. Although Nora's arrest was supported by probable cause, the manner in which officers made the arrest violated Peyton. Evidence obtained as a result of Nora's unlawful arrest must be suppressed, which renders the portions of the warrant authorizing a search for narcotics-related evidence and evidence of gang membership invalid. The remaining untainted evidence did not establish probable cause to search Nora's home for a broad range of firearms described in the warrant. As a consequence, the entire warrant was invalid and all evidence seized pursuant to it must be suppressed. If you enjoyed this video and learned something, hit that subscribe button and share my channel with your friends and family. If you're listening to the podcast version of this recording on Audible or Spotify, please give my podcast a 5-star rating. And finally, if you want to support this channel, consider going to lawstash.com and check out some of my merch, including the Do Not Arrest This Person t-shirts. Thanks for watching.